Hey, good morning. It's Monday, August 9th. Very early in the morning here on a Monday on the East Coast. Anyway, just kind of woke up not too long ago. So getting my day started. Hopefully your day is going well already. I don't know. But I wish you the best. Kind of had these weird thoughts today. I had some strange dreams last night. not worth getting into, but just strange dreams nevertheless. But you ever wonder if, maybe you guys do this or not, I don't know, I'm asking for a friend. Do you ever wonder if you put yourself up on a pedestal that's way higher than you actually are? Is that a normal thing to do? Do we do that as human beings? Like, I've been really struggling lately with trying to understand why it is I'm failing, right? And all these things, and I'm not happy, and I'm just depressed and miserable and feel like shit all the time. So it logically takes you to a place where you have to think about, or you don't have to, I guess, but that you would logically think about, maybe I'm setting the bar just too high. I've never really thought about it like that. I've always, shot for the stars kind of a thing. But I wonder if that's why I'm so miserable about everything, is that I have these expectations that are just ludicrous. Right? I'm never going to be a professional musician. I'm never going to be, a famous podcaster. I'm never going to be an award-winning book narrator. I'm never going to be these things. And I don't mean that negatively, right? I'm not trying to be, oh, woe is me, and start playing the fiddle, to be sorry for me. I just mean, it may not be in my cards to be able to achieve those things. So at what point do you decide that, enough is enough, and how do you kind of be good with that? Like, how do I get to a point where the music that I write and release, I don't care what it does. I'm wondering how I reach that point, because that's, in my mind, I'm torn, right? Part of me wants to be able to say, that, hey, that's what I do for a living because I love to do it and I can support myself and my family doing it. But the reality is that, that's a very, at least in my experience, that's a very difficult business to get a foothold in and make any recurring revenue that's sustainable. It's just not an easy thing to do. And I'm not negative about it. I think that's just factual. That's just speaking the truth. It's not an easy line of business to get involved in and turn into something where you actually make sustainable income. Now, you can make money. Certainly I make money every month, but it's a couple $100. So to me, that's not success. To me, that's more a slap in the face, because it shows that there's the possibility of success and achievement in this field, but I'm just not able to reach that level. And it's kind of like a recurring theme for me, because it's the same in the current position I have, where it's like, I've reached a point where I've put up on a pedestal this position that I used to have that really is meaningless, because let's be honest, the company that I work for is insignificant in every possible way. And that's not to belittle them or demean them. It's just a fact. Have you ever heard of this company? No, I'm not going to say their name because I'm just not going to, but trust me when I tell you, you've never heard of this company. And that's true for, probably tens of thousands of businesses, or at least pre-COVID businesses that existed. So is it really that big of a deal if I'm in a leadership role or I'm not in a leadership role? It really isn't in the grand scheme of things. It's not like some major failure, but in my little microcosm of a world, it feels as if it's this major failure and that I'm being judged and that these people have ruined my life. But in reality, I mean, I've admitted several times on this podcast alone that I don't even know how to classify myself and where to put myself. You know, I have technical skill sets, but not real deep. I don't have the programming component, so I'm not really DevOps. I have a ton of operating system experience, but that's somewhat irrelevant now. And I'm a good speaker, so I'm good at talking to people, and I'm very transparent, open, and honest, for real. And I guess you could argue that's both good and bad, depending on the audience. But for me, I think that's a positive. But it's also kind of a rarity. It's not very common in technology for someone to be doing the technology that has that kind of skill set as well. Typically, you're not, you know, you're a right brain or a left brain, and I'm definitely a right brain. So it's, to me, it's kind of interesting that I even understand most of the technology that I work with, because it would make sense that I wouldn't, based on the type of brain that I am. And, you know, I don't know that for certain. I've just done a bunch of surveys where it kind of, you know, takes you through some questions and asks you to answer. And based on the answer, it tells you most likely what side of the brain you work out of most of the time. And for me, that's the right brain. And it makes sense to me. I'm a very creative person, or, you know, and again, creativity doesn't necessarily equate to success, right? Just because I'm creative doesn't mean you'll like my songs or what I'm creating. It's just that I personally enjoy being creative, and I enjoy being transparent and telling the truth and having critical conversations that speak the truth. I don't like to lie. I don't need to lie. It's like, I'm never even compelled to do that, because I just don't, I don't hold the things that I do in a negative light. So if you don't like what I'm going to tell you, I don't really care. Because I'm being honest with myself, and I'm being honest with you. And I wish more people were able to have meaningful, critical conversations where they were self-reflecting or introspective, and, you know, took the responsibility for their role in the conversation and in the debate and in whatever the context of the topic is. Like, you know, for example, I'm being held out to dry for, I guess, failing. I mean, like I said, nothing's been called out, but obviously I'm no longer in the position I was in before. But nobody else has said, hey, Garrett, you know, I'm sorry I let you down. You know, there's a portion of this that's my responsibility. I didn't ever get back to you on time. I didn't ever work with you, no matter how many times you asked me for help and asked me to work with you on stuff. I never did it. You know, no one else is taking responsibility. They're just pinning all the blame on me. So it leaves me with a really bad taste in my mouth for these people, where I, you know, on one hand, I want to let go and I just want to move forward and not worry about it. But on the other hand, it's surprisingly hard for me to do that. I'm having a really much more difficult time than I thought I would being able to move past this, because I just cannot stand people like this. You know, it's hard. It's very hard for me to be around a personality that acts as if they're above and superior and does no wrong, when I could argue very eloquently that they are the ones that did everything wrong and it had nothing to do with me. And that's not trying to be arrogant, and that's not trying to be, you know, I'm great and I'm flawless and all these things. I'm just saying that there's a huge part of this whole thing that had nothing to do with what I did or didn't do. If you don't ever provide anyone any kind of feedback, the assumption would be that what you're doing is correct, right? That's the logical conclusion the majority of people would arrive upon if left to their own devices and never provided with any kind of feedback. Now, you know, the job of a leader, like if I didn't go to the people that I was in charge of and say, hey, this isn't working, or we need to talk about this, or, you know, what's going on in your life? Are you okay? How you feeling? Because something ain't right here. Then, of course, that's on me as well, right? But we can see that if you don't do those things, you have a stake in the success and the outcome. So it's really perplexing to me to be held accountable for everything that I guess didn't happen. I mean, I don't know what was supposed to happen, because quite frankly, there's been absolutely no changes to anything that's been going on here in the daily activity since I've not been in this role, other than that they're trying to hire someone for my old role, and three more people have resigned from the organization. So So I don't really know how to judge that, but I'm wondering in my mind, and I'm thinking about this a lot more, if I'm just setting the bar at this point in my life at 49, just too high. You know, I'm not going to, and I don't want it. So I'm stuck, right? I'm kind of stuck between two scenarios. I don't want to give up on all things and just, yeah, I don't care about anything anymore. But I also want to be able to set goals for myself that I can actually achieve. And, you know, maybe I'll bring this up with my counselor. I have a call with my counselor later today, so hopefully she can shed some light on this for me. But I'm stuck on that. I don't know what to do to try to make this better. I don't know if I'm supposed to chill out and just relax and not give a shit about stuff anymore and legitimately not care. Is this why people get into drugs? I mean, I'm not being a wise guy. I'm being legitimate. Is it that you just need to numb this feeling? Is this how people cope with this? Because it's very difficult to attack this head on. And it's very confusing because it's almost impossible to be objective about something like this because it's about me. You know, I don't agree that people can be objective about themselves beyond a certain point. I can sit here and tell you, yep, I failed and it's my fault and I did this wrong. But to really see the other side of that coin is to some degree, it's an illusion, right? Or delusional. You don't really know what other people think of you if they don't provide feedback. I can't assume that people think that what I'm doing is correct if they never tell me if it's correct or incorrect. You need that kind of feedback in life to understand if what you're doing is the right thing. I think that's why I have so many problems with my wife, is that we don't have a level of communication that's in any way meaningful. I mean, we don't talk about anything unless it's a heated battle over something completely stupid and insignificant, you know, not anything major. You know, and it's an instant shutdown, kind of. As soon as we disagree about something, somebody just stops talking and then the conversation is over and there is no more discussion, or just hurtful, awful things are said to each other. I don't really know what that is, you know, and I don't really know how to fix that. And unfortunately, I'm on the short end of the stick, it seems like, you know, in all areas. Where one of the things that I loved about Yahoo when I worked there was that the people that I worked for, and they were predominantly from India, my bosses. And what I loved so much about that particular culture was their inability to sugarcoat anything. And maybe that's part of my problem, is for so long of a period of time, I was, you know, under the direction and leadership of people that did not sugarcoat anything. But they weren't mean and nasty and conniving and backstabbing either. They were just objective. They were very, very, it just worked well with my personality. If I did something that was incorrect, excuse me, or I didn't have an answer, or I did something wrong or whatever, there was no hesitation to just plainly state the fact that, Garrett, you did that wrong. Please don't do it again. Or, Garrett, you did this wrong. You'll need to go work on this, and here's some study guides to help you. Or, Garrett, please reach out to this lead because they know what they're doing and they're going to help you get to the next level. Or they're going to help you better yourself in the current position that you hold. You know, it was very assertive. It was very, I felt sincere, but it was not bullshit in any way. And what I find in the role that I'm in is it's just all bullshit. You know, it's just all pandering and not telling the truth, because these people don't actually possess any leadership skills whatsoever. They just have a quick tongue, right? They're slick with words. They can say things that sound good, but they mean absolutely nothing. I listen to it all day long. I mean, there was a word or a phrase that was used, order of magnitude. I can't tell you the number of times that I've heard people in these leadership team meetings talk and speak in terms of orders of magnitude. I don't think that anyone in the room has any idea what that even means, because the context of which they were inserting that little phrase meant nothing. It was just meaningless. It was totally arbitrary and just sound to, you know, to sound like you know what you're talking about, but it meant nothing. Very strange. Yeah, and I know I'm, you know, apologies. I know a lot of these episodes I've been pretty stuck on this whole thing, but, you know, it's impacting my life. I'm at a crossroads in a lot of ways, you know. I mean, it's really concerning to me, and I'm trying to be able to get to a place where I can be productive and actually give a shit, because right now I don't. You know, I can't find it within me to be able to look at this as a positive scenario other than the fact that I still have a job. And even that is becoming less and less like, I don't know, do I really give a shit? You know, like I said before, I mean, I have all the things that I want. I don't really need to make a ton of money. Could we possibly live on meager wages again? I mean, if I get let go, am I going to be okay for the next year to just kick around? Because as I've said before, there's really, and I think a lot of people are finding this true, is that, you know, this wake-up call of where everyone got to work from home was really a true wake-up call. Not only were we going through a pandemic and people's lives were, you know, up in the air and things were just crazy, it made you take stock in terms of what you spend your time, or the predominant amount of time that you spend each day doing. You know, and if you're going to a job in an office and you don't like the people that much and you don't really find the job all that rewarding, and then all of a sudden you find yourself at home around your loved ones and your family all day long, it's like, holy shit, right? It hits you like a brick in the face that it's like, what am I doing? You know, I'm like I said, I'm considering another position potentially if there's an offer made, but it would add like an hour and a half commute to my day. And honest to God, I don't know that that's not going to be the reason I turn it down. I have, like I said, I have no problem going into an office, but to waste an hour and a half every single day, 5 days a week, just to physically be in a place with people that I don't know, that I don't care about, that, you know, aren't my family, they're not important in my life in any way other than the fact that I'm making a paycheck. That's a hard decision for me. Because as much as I hate what I'm doing right now because of the circumstances I find myself in, I'm at home. And I am with my family. And I am comfortable. And I'm sitting here in, you know, pajama pants and a t-shirt. That's a real conundrum, word of the day for me. That's a real conundrum for me. Because, you know, I so want to be spiteful. And I think that's the truth here, is I need to come to terms with the fact that I am a spiteful individual when I'm hurt. And what these people did to me at my current employer was hurt me, even though I probably shouldn't allow that kind of a thing to happen. It did. And it does. And it's a problem for me. You know, I mean, it's Monday morning and I already want it to be Friday. That's, you know, I just don't want to deal with any of this stuff. It's just, and the weekend is never long enough. So, you know, clearly I'm in the wrong spot in life, you know, in my career. I'm not in the right place. But as I've said, you know, in the past, I don't really know what it is that makes sense for me to do anymore, because I'm not really technical enough to do a full-on DevOps role because I don't possess programming knowledge. I really don't have it in me to just start learning a programming language at this point where I'm proficient enough to be able to write it from scratch. I don't want to do it. You know, I mean, I don't know if it's because I'm tired, if I'm lazy, I'm not sure what my problem is, but I don't want to do it. I feel that I've worked so hard for the last 20 years. I have nothing left. I don't want to work that hard anymore. I don't want this that badly. So maybe I'm answering a lot of my own questions here with what I'm saying out loud, in that, you know, it's just terrifying to me. Like, what am I supposed to do? Go work at Tim Hortons? You know, I mean, I'm starting to think that I need to consider lower paying, you know, significantly lower paying jobs that still allow me to work remote and in a perhaps a technical field, but not doing technology. You know, maybe I'm I'd be better off as a sales engineer, like a pre-sales engineer, for example, you know, a guy that, you know, when the salesperson is selling the product, someone that knows the product on the technical side that can speak to any questions about functionality or interaction or compatibilities or integrations, things like that, but not the person that actually builds it out in your environment. And I wonder if that's something that would make more sense to me and be more fulfilling for not only myself, but for the organization in which I work, because then I'd get the opportunity to be able to use my voice and speak to people. And I do have a real passion for technology and for things that I speak about. So I think that it would be quite successful in that regard. But, you know, there's not really that opportunity in the role that I hold today in this organization. It's a doer role. And every time a ticket comes in, it's going to be a strain for a long period of time because, you know, unfortunately, the gentleman that just left, you know, and this isn't a cop-out, this isn't negative, it's just reality. He left basically nothing with regard to how to do things here. So it's going to definitely be a struggle for a good period of time until I have some grip on what needs to be done and how to do things for this organization, because I'm just not going to know. There's no documentation that's granular enough to walk you through things that we didn't go over, which, you know, is probably a huge majority of what is done for this organization, because they just didn't come up in the last week that the guy was here. And he'd spent, you know, I mean, I don't fault him for this, but he spent zero time updating any documentation on anything. He didn't do anything that I had asked. So in that regard, I mean, that's pretty shitty, but I also can, you know, kind of empathize with the fact that, and then at least relate to the fact that you're quitting. You just don't care anymore. And again, that's why I had brought up some time back the whole, why do you give 2 weeks when in an organization like I work now, there's no accountability for anything, it seems. And when you're leaving, you're leaving. And nobody held this guy to anything. There was no plan. There was no nothing. So I'm sure he did absolutely nothing, because the document that was provided to me shows zero edits in the last 2 weeks, which means nothing was added. So, yeah, you know, I'm not faulting the guy. I mean, it is what it is, right? I mean, I hate that phrase, but it is what it is. There's nothing I can do about that. There was nothing I could do about that other than say, hey, you know, you're going to need to highlight and let me know all the things that are kind of on the daily here and you know, make sure that there's documentation around that. But he didn't do that. So, you know, what are you going to do? I like the guy. He's a nice enough guy. But I mean, that's, you know, that's pretty shitty. But that's the kind of people that we've had here for, you know, decades. They just, nobody checks up on it. Nobody follows up on it. Nobody apparently cares about it. And they just deal with it as it becomes an issue. So when these things can't come up, I can be certain in my mind that I'm going to be the one on the hook and be held accountable for not being able to accomplish something or complete something. And it has really no, it's not my fault. Has nothing to do with me if nobody's put down the documentation on how to do this. You know, and again, I'm not talking about just basic things in a cloud or in technology, like, you know, that you would know in an engineering position. I'm talking about the specific way that things are configured and set up for a specific client. That's the kind of stuff that's not documented here. So it makes it very challenging to say, okay, well, yeah, of course I can just go and create an IAM rule. That's not a big deal, but it's not quite that simple when you don't know what the setup is and the groups that are tied to the IAM rules are actually managed through an AD implementation that I have no access to. I have no idea who's in what groups. I don't even know where that resides. So how am I supposed to go make changes to something if I can't do it directly in the IAM rule? How am I supposed to make a change to somebody that's asking for access or change of access? I'm not even able to make the decision because I don't know what access they're supposed to have. So it's a real, again, word of the day, conundrum. That's a real, like, what are you supposed to do in that circumstance? And, you know, perhaps I'm showing my inexperience in this kind of a role, you know, I mean, I've held roles where I've been the only DevOps engineer in the past, but in those particular circumstances, I was building infrastructures for the company itself. So I was in complete control over what we did. So I knew what was going on because I built it all. Here, this is something that's been built for over 10 years that I've literally had my hands in for a week. And now the guy that was, you know, the tribal knowledge guru on this is gone. So it should be pretty interesting to see how this, well, I don't think it's interesting at all. It's horribly pathetic and completely unacceptable. Not only in the fact that it was left the way that it was left, but I'm totally on my own now to have to deal with this without any help from anybody. And I know that if I raise any concerns and say, hey, you know, I don't know how to do this, it's going to negatively reflect against me somehow, because that's just how this group of people is they just point the finger and say, well, it's your fault. Not my fault. That's not my job. I don't have to worry. You know, it's one of those places where not my job. I don't have to worry about it. That's your job. You have to worry about it. So you can see why I'm kind of in dilemma. It's like, on one hand, so much of me wants to be able to just say, okay, I'm done. Goodbye. I quit and go to this other place. But at the same time, I'm not 100% sure that this other place would, well, if they even were to make me an offer, if it would be appealing enough or the right move to go do it, other than because I don't want to do what I'm doing now. That's a, you know, so anyway, I guess I'm just sharing where I'm at mentally in terms of the decisions that I'm trying to come up with and what I'm trying to sort out in my head. And it's just kind of goes back to the beginning where I don't really know. It's so funny because for so much of my career, I always wanted for more, right? Always. I was always looking for the next thing and I got to learn more and I want to be the next this and that. At this point in my life, I don't want to do that anymore. But what I found is that I'm not in a position where I'm a subject matter expert on anything that I'm doing. So I'm stuck having to learn when I don't want to do that anymore. You know, and I don't mean basic things like, you know, technology evolves. Of course, you have to learn new things. I don't mean that. I mean, like fundamentally, I just don't want to learn A to Z about this client. I just don't give a shit. I don't care. It's such a mess from what I've seen already that it's just, there's no benefit to me other than to maintain my job to know this. It's not going to help me for anything else. I'm not going to take this knowledge with me if I go somewhere else and be able to apply it and go, yeah, well, when I was working with this client in this circumstance, this is what we did. It's going to be like something I want to forget. So it's, you know, to me, it's one of those things that falls in the category of I'm just wasting my time. Which means I'm wasting the precious life that I have left because, you know, with all the things going on in my personal life, with my health concerns and all the things that I'm dealing with, you know, I'm wondering in my mind, what is the right thing to do? You know, I've looked at several job applications at this point, and I currently have 3 disabilities that I am 100% qualified to say that I am a disabled worker. And I never realized that. That never really crossed my mind that heart disease is a disability at this point from an employment standpoint. Mental disability is a disability that's recognized. And any kind of gastroenterology scenarios like IBS and fatty liver and things like that are also. So I actually have currently 3 disabilities as an employee. So I'm qualifying my employer to have hired a disabled worker. And that really has me wondering, you know, what is it that I'm doing? Am I wasting the final years of the quality of life that I have? Spending all this time doing all this stuff that I shouldn't be doing? You know, I mean, because there's no doubt in my mind that at minimum, the bipolar aspect of my disability is totally interferes with my work. There's no question in my mind. And I've expressed that to, you know, I wonder if that's why I ended up getting demoted. It'd be interesting because if they ever do terminate me, I'm going to pursue legal action. Because I think that I've been discriminated against without question. I've been open, transparent, honest with that and many other things throughout my career here, and it's all been ignored, and I've suffered consequences and retaliation based on those circumstances, which to me, if I, you know, and I'm no lawyer, but if I understand things correctly, that's absolutely against the law. They're not allowed to do that. So I have a real problem with that too. It's like, you know how humiliating it is to tell someone, hey man, you know, I'm dealing with bipolar depression and, you know, and I sometimes it's affecting me and, you know, it's humiliating. At least for me, it's very embarrassing to say that. And it's also private information. But the kind of person that I am, I'm so compelled to make sure that you understand if you think that there's any kind of inkling of reason why I might not be performing at the highest level, I want you to be sure to be informed and understand why that is. So once again, me being honest and telling the truth has completely fucked me over. It's crazy how that works. I really understand why people would take someone that's open, honest, transparent, sincere, and turn around and just blast them in the back. Why would you do that? What kind of a person does that? I mean, and again, that's the other issue that I really struggle with. It's like, how can I possibly make an effort for a bunch of people that just could care less if I'm dead or alive? It's just all lip service, man. It's all bullshit. Nobody actually cares. Like I said, I was being reamed the other day about my timesheet not having enough billable hours. I'm like, I don't have any control over that. If there's no tickets that come in from the client, there's no billable work. What do you want me to do? Make shit up? I mean, I'm not even joking. I mean, it literally, it's that kind of a one-to-one relationship. If a ticket comes over and requests work, then we do that work and it's a billable engagement. If a ticket doesn't come over, there is no billable work. There's not like some outstanding projects or some lingering things I can just do to charge this customer for nothing. There's literally nothing to do. At least on the billable side. I mean, there's plenty to do from a learning and documentation and advancing your career and all that kind of stuff. But what was being presented to me was, hey, you don't have enough billable work. I want to make sure that, you know, you're getting the most out of the role and the company is, you know, getting the most out of you, you know, just absolute horseshit. It was all about, dude, you don't have any billable hours on your time card this week. What are you doing? You're just sitting around doing nothing. And these are people that I've been working with. Again, this is the same boss that I had when I was in a leadership position, who's now questioning what I'm doing at this level, who never before gave a shit if I had a time card at all. So, you know, I mean, let's be honest. I think the writing's on the wall. And then I get a friggin' email from this clown inviting me to see, asking me if I want to go to Vegas with him for an AWS conference. I'm like, well, I think I mentioned this already, but... Like, it probably would be valuable from I could sign up for a boot camp while I'm there and hopefully get a certification in the discipline, like an AWS Solutions Architect Associate or something like that, because I'd be there. But the last fucking thing I want to do is go anywhere with you, you asshole. I fucking hate you. You're a complete jackass. And I mean, that's the kind of delusion that I'm dealing with. Like, the balls and the gall on this guy to even... to suggest that is just, he's just completely out of his fucking mind. I mean, you think that I want to go somewhere with you? Absolutely not. I mean, I'll go and I will sit in my hotel room and study the whole time, but I'm not going to go and do anything with you. You're a fucking idiot. I mean, if I saw you outside in public and I was able to get away with it, I would thrash you fully. That's how I feel. I mean, fuck you. You're an asshole. I don't want to go spend a week with you in Vegas. I wouldn't mind having an AWS certificate though. That would be cool. And I think that for me, where I'm at today, I would benefit greatly from a boot camp style training where we would go through, like, for 4 or 5 days, go through all of the subject matter, and then right after that, take the test. I think that would be a really great opportunity for me to pass the test. Now, do I need to go to Vegas to do that? No, probably not. But I think it would be nice to be completely uninterrupted and be away from everything, including like, you know, household responsibilities and things like that, so that I could focus purely on studying for that and getting that and obtaining that certificate. I think that would be, that'd be great. But at the same time, that's also like assuming that that's something I want to pursue in my career. And, you know, everything that I'm saying or have said in the last 30 minutes or so tells me I don't really want to do that. I don't want to be that kind of a doer. Man, that's why I keep saying Tim Hortons. Maybe that's, I just need to find a remote job that's not going to pay me this crazy salary anymore. Still has health insurance benefits. I'd like to see some good health insurance benefits, but, you know, something that's more, I don't know if entry level's the right way. I don't know. I'm going to have to, I actually wanted to reach, maybe I'll do that after I'm done here. Wanted to reach out to a friend of mine who had mentioned some time back that he worked with a resume, professional that helped sculpt his resume into, something really, really awesome. Because my resume, I haven't honestly updated it in 15 years. It's pretty, I mean, other than adding new jobs, it's a pretty ugly resume. It's not modernized. It's not streamlined. It's none of that stuff. It's just words. So maybe there's somebody that does that for a living can really help identify the skill sets that I bring to the table and help me, you know, find a position that is in fact rewarding. And something I can live with from a financial perspective. I fear that it would be significantly less only because the title of it would probably be very different than the title that I've held for the last decade or so. But at the same time, I think that that's okay. You know, I mean, I really want to get away from this hang up on, well, I got to make this amount of money or it's just not going to be worth it. And realize that, you know, kind of a, maybe make a list even and write down what my priorities are, what things are important to me in life, why I want to, you know, be remote or go into an office, you know, whatever it might be. Understand how I want to spend my time so that, you know, that's so badly why I wish these things would work out. I mean, if there's a donor out there that could just drop like 10 grand into my PayPal account, that'd be awesome. I'd really appreciate that buffer of being able to sit around and think about this because I actually made some real money. I'm just teasing, of course. But no, that's why I'm so pressured on the music, the podcast, the AC, you know, the book narration, all these other things that I'm trying to do. Because I really so sincerely want them to manifest into something where I can actually live off of that. If I could do this podcast, just as an example, I mean, I'm not saying this there's any quality or any redeeming substance or context in these podcasts. I'm just saying as an example, if I could do a podcast, not necessarily this one, just a podcast full time because it supported me and I made even a third of what I make, I would do it. And that's all I would do. Right? I mean, that's, and maybe that sounds desperate. I mean, that's how desperate I am at this point is that, quite frankly, I enjoy spending time doing this and I could talk forever. You know, I could keep on talking. I would love to have, and I've asked for this before, but it's just never come to fruition. But I would love to get on, you know, get emails or get in IMs or messages from people that listen saying, hey, could you talk about this? Hey, we'd love to hear about this story. And, you know, just different aspects of my life that, you know, I would love to just share. And, you know, again, I realize how pompous and arrogant and ridiculous that sounds. It's like, well, Garrett, you want to get paid for just sitting on your ass and talking about your experiences for the last 20 years. Yeah. That's kind of what I'm saying. I mean, I realize I'm not a celebrity. I'm not successful. I don't really have the most compelling story, I guess. So that's probably, again, one of those things that's just not going to work out for me. But I would love it if it could. I mean, these things, as I've said many times before, I do this podcast for me because it doesn't make any money. Despite the fact that you have to listen to an ad wherever you're listening to this, it pays, you know, like fractions of pennies. It's very similar to streaming. It does pay a little bit better, but again, I don't have, you know, 20 million streams of this podcast. I have like 2,000. So it's not a significant amount of money, unfortunately. It could be if I had 20 million streams of this podcast, but I fear that that's going to take a lot more time than I feel like I have. But, you know, honestly, in the end, however this works out, I've tried to save up as much money as I can. And if I lose my job, I lose my job. I just, at this point, I just cannot give a shit about these things anymore because they're just taking away too much from my everyday life. And it's just overtaking my ability to do and participate in anything because I'm so worried and worked up and paranoid and freaked out about, oh, am I going to have a job? Oh, do I got to start another job? Oh, what am I going to do? And it just gets in the way of everything by triggering more of my bipolar depression and making me feel worse about everything. So that now all I want to do is go lay in bed and do nothing. And that's not what I want to do, despite what my wife probably thinks. I don't really want to do nothing. I want to get back on my game, but I also need to understand what's important in life, and it sure as F is not money, at least for me. You know, I've gone, like I've said, I've gone from, in my past, making $38,000 to making over $200,000, and I honestly see no difference in any way, shape, or form other than being able to be careless and frivolous with money on the upper end of that scale. Like right now, I don't have to worry about bills. That's the benefit of having this miserable job that I have. I don't have to worry about it. I can just pay my bills and it's all good. But if I were to be more critical of the things that I buy and the things that we buy as a family, and we could get by on significantly less because we've done it in the past. When I've, you know, been out of a job, it was, I didn't lose my house. We didn't lose any cars. I mean, everything was fine. Yeah, we had to cut back on the frivolous spending, but so what? That's a privilege, you know? And do I need it? No. And does it make me happy? Not really. I mean, yeah, was it nice to be able to buy a $2,400 Schilke flugelhorn? Absolutely. I love that thing. But the fact of the matter is I own it now. So I don't need that $2,400 to go buy one. And in fact, I could go through and start selling pretty much everything else that I have except that horn and be totally fine with it because that's the horn for me. You know, I mean, I have a couple of horns like the Thomann and stuff that aren't, you know, they're only worth a few $100, so it wouldn't necessarily be that big of a deal to sell them anyway, but I could absolutely sell every other instrument that I have for some price and recover all or most of the money that was invested initially. You know, and that would probably be a month's worth of salary right there. Just get rid of all the frivolity that's in my life. You know, I don't necessarily need to pay for YouTube and Hulu and Netflix and Spotify and all these extra and Prime and all this stuff that's probably costing me hundreds of dollars a month that I just don't care about right now because I don't have to care about it. But I could get rid of it all. Or we could get rid of all but one and just keep Netflix, and that would be the one thing that we have for the TV. And like I've said, you know, I didn't go and buy a new house, and my mortgage is affordable, and we could get by on all the basic bills that we have. It's not a big deal. You know, I haven't really sat down, and I probably should do this too, and really itemized our expenses each month and really take a look at what things are mandatory and what things are extra, but I guarantee that I don't need to make the money that I make now to be able to survive and be fine. I remember, you know, years and years when my wife, we had nothing with all our little kids, and we always found a way to go out and do stuff and enjoy our life and you know, whatever we wanted to do. It just wasn't extravagant, lavish stuff. But we still have great memories and we had a lot of fun, and it was arguably better than it might be now. So I guess that's where I'm at in my head. I'm really thinking about, you know, what I'm supposed to do next, what my next move is. And I'm being overly critical of people that, maybe not overly critical, but I'm being critical of people that are being critical of me, and I just don't want to be around them. I don't want to spend 40 hours or more a week with people that don't give a shit about me. You know, I mean, I understand it's a job and, you know, it can be superficial at times, but in this day and age with the world the way it is, it's very important that people genuinely and sincerely give a shit about each other. And if you don't, I don't really want to be around you. I'm not interested in this because of the career move. I'm interested in being around quality people, not a bunch of shitheads. Anyway, let's get to poetic rhetoric. Hey, this is another thing you could buy, if, you know, just for the fun of it, if you wanted to. These books are actually for sale on Amazon. Still, I'm pretty sure they print to order, but nevertheless, you could buy one. Anyway, this poem from Poetic Rhetoric, Nonsensical Blasphemy by Garrett M. Conklin, published 2016. By Bifocal Publishing. Anyway, you can see the clown theme keep coming back here. Here it is. Ready? Bozo the Frown. Whenever, wherever, whomever, I find it hard to say, never say never. Compete in that thought, I am overly distraught, but caught up in the time of the notion. That one has a say in anything that may be right or be wrong, or be singing some old song, even toking on a bong, it's neither right nor wrong. To know which is left is to understand in which cleft, and strung up to feel like a fool when people wonder whoever ate gruel for dinner or lunch or true, false, and bool. Ian's logic is sound when said with a frown and enjoyed by the clown that fell to the ground while juggling in round with pins all abound and laughing and crying from outside to in. Whenever, wherever, whoever said that surely knows sin. I think I tried to get philosophical there or biblical, and I started talking about behavioral patterns. Anyway, I don't know what my poems mean most of the time. I think, like I said, if you're new to the podcast, that I've written this poetry book based on some direction from a counselor that I saw after having two open heart surgeries as a way to deal with and cope with that kind of stress and anxiety and experience in my life. And it was just kind of like automatic writing, just let shit fly out and it is what it is. And I'd written so many of them, I thought it was a waste to just throw them out. So I did a self-published book and it came out really nice. I mean, it's a really cool looking book. You know, if you're ever considering publishing a book, Amazon does a great job. I mean, I have sold like three of them. It's not like it was successful, but it was a cool thing to do, and it was neat to take that kind of effort and turn it into a tangible, you know, pliable achievement like that. So I have these cool books, and you can buy them on Amazon, even though I'm not promoting it. Anyway, with that, this is a long one, 47 minutes. Apologies. I hope your week goes well. Happy Monday. Hope you don't get a case of the Mondays. I already have it. I think I woke up with it, but you know what? I appreciate every single one of you that listens to this, and I'll go back and listen to this myself. So I'm thanking myself for being a listener. I think that's cool and kind of crazy at the same time. But hey, you have a good day and I'll talk to you soon. Thanks.